Today, disappointing US inflation data will keep the Fed hawkish. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, well, that is Post, covering finance and property news. Well, the last mile of the journey in getting inflation back into its box is the hardest and most intractable. So while US inflation is much lower than it was, when released yesterday, ahead of the Fed rate decision today, it showed that it's not declining quickly and still remains above the Federal Reserve's targets. In summary, core inflation matched market expectations in November, increasing at a marginally faster rate of 0.3%. In annual terms, that is core inflation at 3.25%, with rapid core goods disinflation of 3.75%, broadly offsetting faster core services inflation of 5.5%. But core services excluding housing inflation has picked up to 6% in annualized trend terms, while the trimmed mean CPI, which gives a sense of the breadth of price rises, has picked up again to 3.75%. Now, the initial spike in 2021 was driven by goods prices, which had been stable for years. That was mainly thanks to the pandemic's effect on supply chains. That shock is over. At this point, inflation is almost entirely about core services, which includes shelter costs. For years, services ran at about 2% per year, while goods inflation was zero. Then they spiked together in 2021 and 2022, but now goods is back to zero. There's certainly an argument that this element of inflation is transitory, while services is still at roughly double its pre-pandemic norm. Annual core services inflation was unchanged in November compared to the previous month. So, we have a story which doesn't yet allow central bankers to relax. This is underscored using the special statistical measures that different research teams within the Fed use to track different definitions of underlying inflation. The trimmed mean, in which the biggest outlying components in both directions are excluded, an average taken for the rest, continues to decline, but only slowly. And I think there's a question as to whether that's a really useful measure at all, by the way, because, of course, everybody has to pay all of the inflation elements. Its latest year-on-year reading was 4%. On a month-on-month basis, it's lower than that and has touched the 3% upper band of the Fed's target range. But it ticked up very slightly last month. Such numbers don't force the Fed to hike rates again, but they certainly give very little room or cover to cutting them. Now, I like the Atlanta Fed's separate inflation figures for sticky prices, which takes a while to move and generally only go upward, and flexible ones, which can vary in either direction at short notice. What the central bankers want to avoid is a steady increase in sticky price inflation, as by definition it's hard to reverse. This measure again clearly shows a declining trend, but one that has a lot further to go before the Fed will feel comfortable. So whilst November saw a dip, it still ran an annualized clip of more than 3% for the month. Shelter inflation is also worth looking at, which is reported with a lag, of course, while the treatment of house price inflation, which creates difficulties for statisticians by increasing the buying power of homeowners while making life harder for those who rent or are homeless, is actually counterintuitive and controversial. So this chart shows that the official numbers for shelter inflation in the CPI data tends to track the S&P Case-Shiller house price indices, but with a 16-month lag. So if that pattern does hold, then shelter inflation is due for a big fall in the next few months. And if we look at the indices for rent, based only on leases taken out in the last month, rather than on all leases currently in effect, regardless of when they started, then the one reported by the real estate group Zillow has a very mixed message. Rents have been falling for the last 2 months, it says, but it also shows that followed a string of gains, which are yet to show up fully in the data. So Where does all this leave us with the decision for the Federal Market Open Committee meeting today? Well, Fed funds future suggests that there's virtually no chance of a move in the target rate either way this month or next. And they're probably correct about this. That was true before the November inflation report came out. What's slightly surprising, though, after the numbers were a tad higher than had been expected, is that bond yields actually fell a little for the day, even though they had already been through a lengthy decline that some thought were overdone. The explanation is that the Treasury decided to get all its bond issuance for the week over on Monday and Tuesday to avoid causing a mess immediately before the Fed market decision. Yields did indeed leap once the inflation figures came out, but that was more than counteracted by the relief on the two successive days that the Treasury auctions went off without a hitch. So at this point, markets are more alarmed by bond vigilantes who might refuse to buy Treasury debt and send yields soaring than they are by the prospect of the central bank's hawks who might send rates up. So that explains why the 10-year yield fell over the first few days of the week, despite inflation news that would normally send them upward. The prevailing opinion in the bond market appears to be that the team transitory was right all along. And meanwhile, so unconcerned was the stock market, the US equities enjoyed yet more gains across the board. The NASDAQ 100 is now only a day or two from setting a new record, potentially, almost exactly 2 years after its last. So we've gone nowhere fast over that period. And equity volatility is dropping ever lower. That makes all kinds of deals and investments easier. So a resumption of initial public offerings in a big way in the new year could well be likely. The lowest level of the VIX in more than 4 years over a period encompassing the entire pandemic cannot be what the Fed wants to see, though. And that's what we have after a report confirmed that inflation is still running too hot ahead. If inflation rises from here, rate cuts will be off the table, of course. In the event of a serious economic downturn, they might be unavoidable. But the likelier outcome is some murky state between these two extremes, which will bring attention to the Fed. If they're anxious not to be cutting just before the election for political reasons, and they truly believe that they don't need to wait for the economy to slow down before they can start reducing rates, then easing in the first half of next year could happen. But the biggest problem at present is of the market's own making, actually. If Jerome Powell and friends are concerned about loose financial conditions, then rate cuts will be difficult. Powell made great play in recent months of the notion that when the market tightens financial conditions by making it harder to raise equity or debt or access to cash, they are doing the Fed's job. A couple of months ago, that was true, but now the opposite is also the case. There are different ways to measure this, but risk appetite by any yardstick is back in a big way. And that means that it's getting easier to access finance. In fact, Bloomberg's index shows the easiest financial conditions since before the Ukraine invasion in February last year. So the FOMC won't change rates this week, but it does get to revise the dot plot, which shows its projected course of interest rates ahead. That would be a way to assure the market that rates are coming down swiftly. But for now, the Fed could be reluctant to do anything that encourages more speculation. And after the dot plot, of course, the press gets its last confrontation of the year with Powell at his press conference. And if he wants to nudge bond yields back upward and get the markets to tighten conditions, he's going to find that very difficult. So expect a big nothing burger, I think, for his conference this week, and that rates will stay on hold. But I also think the markets are too optimistic about when rates are likely to be cut. You get into this political dilemma ahead of the US presidential election. Could well get messy, but we should be watching services inflation in particular, because that's where all the action will be. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.